and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 523. My name is James Gilmore. Joining me today is Matthew Ford.
Hello.
We are locked in boxes of pure heat. I keep getting sent photos of just a blue square, and I'm like, that's nice. And then I realize it's the sky. And yes, we're having one of those seasonal spikes that we occasionally get. And we're all suffering because of it.
This is actually the first time on the podcast I've not worn a bomber jacket. So that's actually how hot it is.
That's true. Actually, I didn't realise that's what you were wearing before. I mean, you wear coats indoors.
You suffer for the look, don't you?
God. And I mean, like, if it was up to me, I would be nude in pretty much everything I do. I'm going to be honest. People know, you've listened for a long time, that I grew up in Scotland for like the first half of my childhood, like to about the age of 10. And that's where my barometer was set. My internal heat temperature clock was stuck at that. And my body said, right, you need to produce a lot of heat, James, because it's cold up here. Then I moved south. And when it goes up to 35 degrees outside, I don't know what to do with myself. And my body can't hack it.
I'm normally pretty chilly, so I'm always like jackets and everything like that. But they are pretty thin jackets, to be fair. They're not like proper like thermals.
You're all terribly lazy people with your lazy nervous systems. Can't be asked to generate any heat. Lay about. Disgusting. You appall me. Well, we're back to a normal podcast now. We had the one last week. I think Rick jumped on last week for the post-launch pad thing. And now Matthew is back, which means, regular viewers, Nintendo stuff will happen. He's got figures for us. There's been a call. He's going to tell us all about Nintendo. But we've got other things non-Nintendo related as well. So Project xCloud coming to Android next month. But not iOS. Let's find out what that's all about. We've got some information about Warhammer Quest Silver Towers pre-registration and how you can get involved with it, plus a whole bunch of new releases, including the likes of Brawlhalla, Super Glitch Dash, Rocat Jumper, There Are Two R's, and more. First, the news. I didn't get to watch the whole Project xCloud announcement thing when it happened. I know there have been several stories following it, but the cliff notes that I was able to gather is that it will finally be coming to Xbox next month. Xbox Android. Let's nip that in the bud early. Coming to Android next month. It's been in a kind of pre-release beta stage, and people have been playing around with it for a little while and giving it a go. I know Dave Aubrey from Pocket Gamer, he's the one who got hands-on with it and was testing it out and whatnot. Very exciting. I'm sure you all know what it is. Play your Xbox games, play Game Pass games and that on your phone or whatever. Brilliant. Controller, clip it on. Lovely. They've also been doing it on iOS, so the beta happened there, although it was different to the Android one. It was limited specifically to the Master Chief Collection. That's the only game that beta testers could play, and this was down to, you know, Apple's more rigorous what it will and will not allow on the App Store kind of things. So the beta's completed, everything done, they've dusted their hands off, and they've made the announcement that it's coming to both platforms next. Oh no, wait. Only Android next month. And no word on iOS whatsoever. It looks like Apple's shut this thing down.
Yeah, what they said is they need to review every game on the App Store. And because every service, obviously, they've got 100 games on Game Pass. Mm. Their idea is to just put everything on. And that is their sort of like get out of jail card to go, oh, actually, we don't want you on our platform. Which I think is a bit of a sneaky way of getting out of it, to be fair.
You all know, you've heard the podcast, there's long-running issues with this. iOS is always very, very restrictive and much more cagey about this kind of thing. The Steam Link, that's what it's called. The Steam Link controller is a really good example of this, which is that was a thing that everyone's been waiting to appear on iOS for absolutely ages and was kind of promised, but still hasn't appeared. And there are lots of other apps that, you know, contain other games or allow you access to stores or other marketplaces, and Apple is always shutting this stuff down. You know, our marketplace is the only marketplace. The App Store is finite and there is no more. There's nothing beyond these walls.
Well, you got to think they've got Apple Arcade as well, haven't they? Obviously, that's not even a year into existence yet, and they've got a lot more games on the way. They had the State of Play from PlayStation yesterday, and I don't know if you saw, it was The Fallen, was it, that was shown in it?
I don't know, I didn't watch it.
It was the big headline game for Apple Arcade when it announced. So it was the one that looked like Breath of the Wild, and Journey. I think it's called The Fallen or something. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's coming to Apple Arcade as well later on. So clearly, they're investing in it still.
And Because we were talking about that with Rick last week as well. They haven't really been crowing about the numbers. But I guess there is maybe a concern from them that if you can suddenly play all your wicked Xbox games on your iPhone, then you won't be playing Apple games on your iPhone. You'll be spending all the time playing Halo. And that might, well, stop people investing in Apple's ecosystem, perhaps. I mean, I don't know. You'd think that it would encourage people like, oh, I can get an iPhone and I can play other things, because this is one of those apps where if it really takes off and it becomes big with gamers, it might discourage people from getting iPhones, because they'll go, well, I want to be able to get access to all my Xbox games as well. If everything is going to be streaming now and everything is going to be cross-platform and I can play it anywhere and everywhere and my phone won't let me, which is my primary second screen, then I'll just get an Android. Maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, the big conversation that was, I think it was last week, people were complaining about the 30% that they charge.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they have sort of like deals already cut with people like Amazon. The other one is, I think it's like Comixology, who's actually owned by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies like try to subside the 30%. So Comixology actually make you go to the website to make any purchases.
Right.
So they don't get a cut. And I think that's the same for Kindle. You have to go and make the purchases
elsewhere so that Apple don't get their 30%.
Exactly. Mm. So this has all been part of a big conversation that seems to have merged into one I've seen. It's gone from this 30% into this Xbox Project X Cloud thing. The question is, will Apple go back on it? Because, Game Pass is huge. I do think it's the best deal in gaming at the minute. I mean, what's the price? It's I've got it here somewhere.
It's 15 quid for the Ultra, or $14.99 for the like
ultimate
thing, which gives you everything. Yeah. And as we know, the xCloud will be bundled into it, so it just becomes part of the service. So you're paying $15 for 100 plus games, a lot of which are very good, plus all the Microsoft exclusives. So your Halos and your Gears of War and all that.
Play
business.
On PC as well.
You can play them on a Windows 10 thing, and now you'll be able to play on your phone as well, which is kind of, I mean, it is rad, and I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on it and having a go. I'm not at all surprised, as usual, that Apple's gone, no. Or certainly, it's like, from their perspective, I guess it's a, where's my cut? Do I get to wet my beak a little bit here? Like, if it's just going to be you can play your Xbox games, then we're just facilitating people giving money to Microsoft and not giving money to us.
Yeah.
And not playing our games, because they'll be busy playing Gears of War 12 on their phone. And, you know, I can see the sort of sense behind it, whereas Google is much more kind of like, yeah, of course, do what you want, you know, whatever. People will buy our phones, they're cheaper, and it'll be another reason to get people onto the thing, and fantastic.
I'm one of them. You know, I'm looking at getting a new phone very soon, and I am probably going to get a Galaxy, and this is a big incentive for me.
I still want to try it. I still want to see what it feels like with the controller. Yeah. And I can't imagine, even though they offer the option, to play it with those overlay touchscreen controls. I know it's a thing. I want to have a go on that. I'm going to want to do a whole video of me just trying to play. I tried to play God of War, the new God of War 2018 one, with the PlayStation Now streaming app using touchscreen controls.
How Cory Barlog envisioned it, yes.
Yeah, exactly. and it was an absolute cluster fudge. It was terrible. Terrible trying to play it, so don't even bother. Which leads us into another thing, which is that the new Xbox controllers have been confirmed to work with Android and iOS. So, which presumably means for everything. So you can use it as a third-party controller if you want to for your other games too. But this has only come up because Sony said, no, you can't use the PS4 DualShock to play PS5 games. You can use it to play PS4 games on the PS5, but you can't play PS5 games on the PS5 with a PS4 DualShock. Because...
Sony.
Because... that's why...
Yeah.
Buy our new controllers, scumbags. I don't know. This is linked to mobile, but the first time in a while, I'm feeling that move towards Microsoft. I'm feeling like the Xbox has got the advantage on this one. It tends to pendulum backwards and forwards.
It does. In this front, definitely. I mean, we're still yet to hear what Sony are going to do on that front. You know, they must have a mobile option or something like that. Something, you know, a subscription service.
PlayStation Now, I mean, you already can kind of remote stream from your PlayStation the other end, but they must be working on making PlayStation Now stream, you know, the same thing.
A much
thing.
Better service as well for the PS5 because Game Pass has just knocked it out of the park as well. That's the other thing. The other question is, is this Stadia? Is this them done now? Because, like, is this the final coffin in the nail sort of thing?
Coffin in the nail.
Nail in the coffin. Yeah.
We were talking.
It's hot. It's a Friday.
I know. But no, you're right. We talked about it before, and it's like, well, it does make Stadia seem even more behind the curve, because it's like all the same streaming stuff, only Xbox Game Pass, or Game Pass, it's now called, no longer Xbox. It's got games. It's got games you can play, and they're good, and you just have them for 15 quid.
It's like Destiny 2 as well. It's a big one.
Yeah, it makes the Stadia model look very weird. Mm. Either way, we will be seeing this in, and it's September the 15th.
Yeah.
That's when it arrives on Android.
Just to correct myself quickly, the game I was on about on Apple Arcade is called The Pathless.
The Pathless? Okay, yep. All right. I can see how you wouldn't get it. They're really running out of the whole game title things. They need to verb nouns and try and find weird adjectives that don't exist and stuff like that. The Pathless. It's like that. It really annoys me for trilogies where they end up doing rises at some point. You know how they've been doing that? They've been doing rises.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider, Dark Knight Rises. They always stick rises on the end of the second or third movie. Shadow is a good one as well, again Tomb Raider, but just that lazy suffix where they need to add something on the sequels, and because they're just running out of stuff, there's only so many combination of words you can put together, and it just becomes a bit like, I like, just stick with Street Fighter 5, you know what, Street Fighter 6 and all that, but even then it doesn't work out because it's Street Fighter 2 EX Plus Alpha Turbo Edition, and then it becomes novel, the entire title.
Everyone's gone back now, haven't they? They've got like God of War and Call of Duty. It's like, no, that's it.
They have to reset. Yeah, it's like Rocky and Rambo and all that. They just have to go back to the original title just to confuse things. So now you have to put the game name and then brackets and then a year after it. That's the only way to do it. Like Prince of Persia.
Right, yeah.
Prince of Persia 2008, brackets. Because it was that lovely, massively underrated remake, reimagining thing, people. It had a weird pacing because you could do the game in any order, so the difficulty curve didn't ramp up quite the way it should. But, put that to one side, amazing looking game, genuinely brilliant visual reward system of going and unlocking each new area by kind of repollinating it or repopulating it. The whole thing goes green and everything kind of whoms out from the middle, and it's all done in what looks like sort of anime inspired. Did you play it?
I didn't, no.
It was the Xbox era, 360. It's massively underrated, I think. Genuinely brilliant game. People should go back and revisit it if they didn't play it first time. Very cool. Now, mobile stuff. Let's stick with the mobile while we're here. Silver Tower has opened for pre-registration. It's due to launch on September the 3rd, but before that hit, people can sign up in order to get involved. Now, this is their latest mobile game from the Warhammer Quest franchise, and I'm interested in this because they've had a mixed, I guess, history of bringing Warhammer games to mobile. Some of them have worked, some of them have not. This is Pochang, who took over from, was it Rogue who did the first of those Warhammer Quest games? The first one was really good. The second one was okay. This looks like kind of a step above it, where they've done away with the kind of closed, claustrophobic corridor dungeon crawling thing. And they've got these fighting areas that are sort of floating on big kind of islands in the middle of the screen, surrounded by lots of swirly blue lovely stuff. And then you set about doing your battles, and it's, as you would expect, grid-based, and, you know, turn, move your thing, and do the attacks and all that stuff, which is great. But it looks really nice. They've stepped the production value up a little bit here. They've breathed a lot of life and colour into it, which I don't think was there before.
Yeah, it's very pretty, you're right.
It's definitely a single-player campaign. There are 10 champions to choose from.
25 unique maps.
I'm not seeing any multiplayer mention. I've got to imagine they'll bring a multiplayer component. Because, like, that's to me the thing that's been missing from a lot of the Warhammer games is it's a multiplayer thing. Like, Warhammer Quest, even Warhammer Quest, which isn't the standard Warhammer of armies battling each other, Warhammer Quest was an RPG where you are leading a bunch of people through. But you didn't play it with one person. You played it with multiple people. Everyone gathered around, and you know, there were, like, 4 or 5 different adventures. You played it with your mates. So I feel like there's a bit missing from some of this stuff. But this looks like the sort of sexiest reimagining of the board game that I've seen. Have you dabbled with all of this tabletop Warhammer nerdery?
This might be the first. Yeah, I've just seen it. Well, it's coming out September 3rd, both iOS and Android. Yeah, this might be the one I have to jump in to give a go. But as you mentioned, if it does have a multiplayer aspect, which it seems a bit unclear, that could be something definitely would hook me more.
I think I've made that bit up. I think I'm just projecting that that's what I would like. but specifically, it's set during the Age of Sigmar, and you're trying to get to the Silver Tower, hence the title, which is a thing I believe exists in the lore. You've got to complete the dreaded Gaunt Summoner's Trial of Strength, Skill, and Endurance. I don't really care. Show me the map. Show me some acolytes. I know that they're involved as well. And if you know anything about Warhammer lore, that's fun.
You know when I talk about Nintendo for like 10 minutes and go on about stuff and then you just go, yeah, just words. Yeah, that's sure. Literally the same for me right now.
I'm not even like, I didn't play a lot of it. I collected the figures. I did the painting. I had a Tyranid army, because mostly because I enjoyed the art of it. I like painting the models more so than I ever played the war stuff. But I was
allowed.
I was surrounded by people who were like invested in the tabletop games. And I've got a soft spot for all the tabletop gaming because of, even more so now when we spend time as we do, screens and games, and even now meeting up socially means looking at a screen with Zoom on it. Like, so anything that involves people physically being around a table and interacting with objects and being there, it's quite nice, and I have a fondness for it that has stayed with me. So yeah, if you want to go and pre-register, the link is available on the site. Go and check it out and keep your eyes out for the release on September 3rd. That'll do for news. Oh, no, wait. I tell a complete lie. I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to carry on. I'll stop because we haven't even got to the big news, really.
Yeah.
Which is, Matt, Nintendo, numbers. They did one of their business cool things, which I don't listen to because they're very boring. But I do pay attention to the numbers that come out of it. So has Nintendo had a good quarter or whatever it is they're reporting on?
They have, yes. Mainly down to one big game you might have heard of called Animal Crossing New Horizons. Which has gone on to sell an astronomical 22.4 million copies in 3 months.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and to put
that
it
into, really is a lot.
To put it into context, Animal Crossing New Horizons has sold more than the entire Metroid series.
I mean, which is just like, I remember when the Tomb Raider remake came out and they were talking about, like, fingers crossed that they would hit 3 million within the first year. Like, and it almost did. I think it was Tomb Raider or Rise, one of those two. But that's Tomb Raider. That's like, that's not a small franchise. That's Tomb Raider, for Christ's sake. So 22 million in what? Three months?
About 3 months, yeah. That's what it was in the end. Ooh. Yeah. I mean, so it's not even, it's nearly, but it's currently the second highest selling game on Switch. It's just behind Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which came out basically a couple months after launch. Yeah. And that's on 26.74. It's definitely going to overtake that sometime. I won't be surprised if it cracked 30 before the end of the year. Just because, you know, it's by far, in a way, the biggest game this year. Of course, like games like Call of Duty will always get the highest sales numbers overall, just because that is a thing of its own. But, you know, the phenomenon around and, you know, conversation around Animal Crossing has just been the game of the year so far anyway.
I've got to wonder if it would... I think it would always have been successful. I think it always would have done really well because it's a game that doesn't come out every year and people have been waiting for it and were excited. I've got to wonder if the whole lockdown, COVID, misery cycle and that game being so kind of like sweet and warm and everything's okay on the island and all that business had something to do with it, or, you know, certainly increased or bolstered the sales a little bit.
I definitely think so. You know, it's just an escape, isn't it, for most people? Yeah. I was one of them. You know, the first couple of months, I put in easily, I think, 150 hours. So, you know, both me and my partner, it was just our thing every day. We'd just go on, check in, you know, do the general routine as we spoke about on the podcast before. Yeah. As I mentioned, I got addicted to, like, cutting down trees, and like that was like a little weird thing.
Deforestation forward. You cruel, cruel taskmaster. What other stuff then? So obviously Animal Crossing's done amazing.
Yeah, so Mario Kart 8, as I said, done extremely well. That's top. You're getting your Super Smash Brothers, very happy to see, is now third with 19.99 million. So very, very close to 20.
And sales are wild.
Yeah, makes it the highest selling fighting game of all time, which I think it did already when it passed spot 16. Mm-hmm. You've only got Breath of the Wild at 18.6, Pokemon Sword and Shield 18.22, Super Mario Odyssey 18.06, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee at 12.2, Mario Party at 10.9, Splatoon 2 at 10.7, and in 10th place, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which is, again, one of them extended names that we were on about earlier, which is just, like, ridiculous, and that's at 7.44. So across the board there, very impressive numbers, you know, for each of them to sell that many copies. I mean, even, like, the Mario Party and Super Mario, New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, they're not the best of games, to be honest, either. They're, like, fine, they're good, but they're not that level of sales. And I think it's just the attachment rate of the Nintendo Switch, which has now passed 60 million and is on a 61.4.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. It's one of these benefits where you've got this device that is so incredibly well loved.
Mm.
And then you've got the Nintendo thing, which is, I think they don't release, or they have these core tentpole franchises that you kind of have to own, or you somehow feel obliged. Like, you know, there's a new Mario game comes out, everyone with a Switch is getting that. Like, there's no one who's not getting that, I don't think. And it's the same with, I mean, if they released a Metroid game. Metroid's probably more niche, but certainly Mario Kart. Like, everybody will buy Mario Kart if you've got a Switch. That's just a kind of given. So, to some degree, it's like, of course they've sold incredibly well, but it doesn't take anything away from them. It's just, I think stuff can be a little bit more, not diverse on other platforms, but I guess in some cases they're swamped with lots and lots of other games they could be getting.
No, definitely. It does make it interesting now because, you know, Animal Crossing has basically been the only major game they've released this year. I mean, we had Paper Mario, which came out a couple of weeks ago, which I loved. I had a really great time with, but it's not a major, major game. It's like it's a B-tier game. It's not an A. So if you don't really like Animal Crossing and you haven't picked it up, there hasn't been a lot this year for you on Switch. And that's a bit of the problem going forward because on Thursday, Nintendo announced that Pikmin 3 Deluxe will be arriving on Nintendo Switch on October 30th, which it's been rumoured for a long, long time. It was expected to be one of the early ports on the game, but here we are, 3 years into the Switch's life cycle. Here's a port of Pikmin 3. That is seemingly might potentially be it for the rest of the year because it is so late on. The other one people have been talking about is the Super Mario 30th Anniversary Collection.
Yeah, where they do that. I remember we talked before the thing on the SNES where you could get like All-Stars, wasn't it?
That's right. So this is going to be the 3D version with Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario Galaxy, which would be amazing. That would be such a system seller because there's so many people that love them games. Mm. I'm just interested to see if it actually comes to fruition this year.
I'm still waiting for them to port some of the old Zelda games. Like, I mean, I know that the thing that people are crying out for, and I've seen people mention this, is like, where the hell is Wind Waker?
Exactly. And Twilight Princess. Both of them. Yeah,
Twilight Princess to a lesser degree, because I know people weren't quite so hot. That was a bit more controversial, that one. But like, Wind Waker is adored, and the problem is no one played it because it was on the Wii U.
That's actually the first place I played it.
It was the only place. I mean, it didn't come up on the Wii. It was a Wii U exclusive, wasn't it?
If it came out on GameCube originally, obviously, and then...
Did it? Is that where it came out?
Yeah, it was a GameCube original, 2004. And then, so it came to Wii U as like a HD port. That's the first time I ever played it. But yeah, everybody wants it on Switch because it is such a beloved game. Same with Twilight Princess. You're being harsh there on Twilight Princess.
I've got nothing against it. I think I've got it. Clearly, by what I just said, I'm not like part of the Nintendo chain. I wasn't there all the way through. But I've kind of backtracked on lots of stuff and I've got a Wii in the other room.
Well, that was actually my first ever Zelda game, Twilight Princess. So I have got a bit of bias with it.
Right.
So I remember Christmas morning waking up with a Nintendo Wii and Twilight Princess and then going fishing for about 4 hours before any adventure actually happens. And I'm like, ha! But I still love it very much.
Well, that's adorable. all right. So there's your official stats roundup, numbers fans. But the main interesting thing is what next big thing they've got coming out. And specifically for us, for mobile, still waiting for that Zelda mobile game
you've 100%.
Been teasing, folks. When that happens, that's going to be the next big explosion. You've had all the Mario stuff. When they drop that Zelda thing on mobile, everyone's going to go nuts. And my God, the fury that will be unleashed online. Whatever it is, whatever they reveal, doesn't matter. I mean, if they reveal Match 3, it'll be fury. But... Mm. whatever they do, there's going to be, oh, this is on Zelda! Like, it's going to be such rage. And yes, I'm looking forward to that.
But funny enough, I actually think Pikmin could work very well as a mobile game.
Well, indirectly telling a bunch of tiny little buggers where to go.
Pretty much, yeah. They had one on the 3DS, which was like a platformer.
Okay.
I do think the Pikmin IP could work well in some way. Maybe like, I don't know, you actually looking after the Pikmin and like growing them and stuff like a Farmville thing or something. Don't know.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, you're adorable today, Matthew.
Thank you.
Push all the Pikmin off a cliff. Every single one.
No!
I want to see them. Like lemmings, no! I want to see them do that little lemming sound effect when they die. That's what I'm here for. This is why I didn't play Nintendo. Too cute. Anyway, let's see what's out and about this week. Let's start things off with something small. We both played this. Super Glitch Dash. Appeared. It's a little three-lane sci-fi autorunner dodgy thing. I've played these before. Have you?
Yes, once or twice.
Yep. What do you think?
I like the music.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fine. It's pretty fun. I don't know if I'd play it. I've only played it for like literally maybe just under an hour. And I thought that was enough. I was like, I don't need to be playing this for, you know, 3-4 hours. I've seen what it is. It's fine. I don't think I'd pay for premium.
No, I know there's that premium version, yeah.
Yeah, $4.99. You get all the levels, all game modes and everything. But from what I can see is you can just work your way up.
It's quite a big ask, $4.99, for what it is. And to be clear, first person auto runner, which you're charging down. It's got the three-lane system and the usual stuff where you swipe left, swipe right, up to jump, down to slide. It does start to throw in a lot of additional mechanics. So soon you get a wall running thing where you swipe left and doof, you're up on the wall. You then get the ability to swipe up in some instances and you flip kind of 180 and suddenly you're running along the ceiling and run back. And then they've got loads of other stuff where the walls are at funny angles. They've even got like a BioShock Infinite hook slide thing at one point where you jump on and you kind of like you're in a theme park or something, dangling down. So there's a lot going on in it, and it is quite well presented, actually. It looks, you know, it's the full 3D spinny niceness. You're charging towards what looks like a big stargate at the end, and then you warp into the next level.
You got to collect gems and crowns as well as like little extra bonuses, which, you know, it's always nice if you want to be that person, the collectible one.
It's like, it's fine, it's varied, it mixes things up a bunch, but equally, like, I've played this game so many times before, and yeah.
Yeah, as I said, I might just listen to it for the music, to be honest. Like, as I say, it was very like bass driven. I was like, oh, this is for mobile games seem to suffer a bit with music, I think, sometimes. Like, especially, you know, the quick, you know, free to start games like this, they tend to just slap something in. I thought actually this was something I could listen to generally. I was like, oh, this is not too bad. But, yeah.
I think maybe a bit of a generalization, and there's loads of, you know, very good soundtracks on mobile games. I will once again say Super Hexagon by Chipsell.
Yeah, but, and games like Florence, stuff like that.
Yeah, but there is also another element with mobile games, which is that they are kind of designed to also be played silently because by their very nature, you're playing them in public and messing around with them. And so they often have to rely on purely visual feedback with stuff. If the audio is essential, that's why they have to keep putting that, like, do put your headphones in, by the way, because they know full well that people are often playing these games silently. So I guess maybe there's perhaps less of a focus on the music being integral to the game. So there might be something there. Yeah. Either way, Super Glitch Dash, it's available. It's free to play if you want to go and grab it at the minute. Now, I'm surprised you hadn't played this. I thought this is what you'd come charging up to me and be like, James, I played Brawlhalla. Because this is a game that's been available on other platforms for a while. PS4, I think 2017, 2018. So it's a port.
Yeah, it's been around a couple of years.
Yeah, things that have been elsewhere. It's Smash is what it is. It's Smash Bros. It's your game, the one true game.
To some extent, yes. It's a very different game, but yeah, it's the same template, isn't it?
Is it though? Well, I mean, like, look, clearly I haven't played barely any Smash. I've played a little bit, but so I'm not going to pass any judgment. I don't know, bugger all. But what it is trying to do is it's trying to emulate that Smash thing where you got like maybe four different players. I think it's probably four or five different players on screen, tiny little floating islands, just like with Smash. Camera zooms in and out as people move further away and come closer. And you have a selection of attacks you can try and batter people to death with. There are power-ups dotted around the level, specifically weapons. You're constantly changing weapons in this one. So you're running into like grabbing a sword or grabbing a flail or something like that, and they do kind of rotate, although you do have a kind of start-out weapon that you begin with. I never played this on the console. I have only been playing this on mobile. And I've been playing online. I've been doing battles. I have won some. I've gotten battered in others. The one thing I'm feeling... Well, first of all, this is it's a Ubisoft game. It's very nicely produced. It's got lots of other characters brought in, like...
Rayman's there.
Lara Croft's on the title screen. She's not, I've not unlocked her or anything, but she's there. And so they've got other like official characters in that Smash Bros. Kind of way. So it's all there. The visuals are lovely. It's very, very nicely animated. It's got, you know, closest comparison is that Rayman art style, I guess. That's the cartoony look they've gone for. And it's a really, really good one. So fair play there. And it's very fast. It's very smooth. It's very responsive. All very good. Downside. Good Lord, I wish I had a controller when I was playing this. Like, if ever there was a touchscreen game that was like, I really kind of wish I had a controller, rather than trying to do this on a touchscreen with like four different floating buttons at least over here, and the left, right, up, down thing going on over there. And it's so fast. It's a very fast-paced game where lots is going on at the same time. All, you know, because you've got these different fights breaking out all over the screen, and they're very small, and the mobile screen is very small. So it's like, eh? And you're trying to do that, and it's not just like these kind of nice, slow, stomping characters. People are and getting battered out like this and flying out, and it requires a lot of very precise manipulation, and I got better at it over time. Like, I got used to it, but... Ooh, I'd rather have a physical controller for this one.
Yeah, definitely. For these sort of games, I feel like you do need a controller or keyboard or whatever, something properly to get invested into it and actually learn all the, you know, all the skills and tactics and everything involved, but all combinations, I should say. But like on mobile, I feel like to have this work to that just off the touchscreen, it's got to be very simplified.
Yeah, and it's not really. Like there are multiple buttons on the right that are a little bit like... the good stuff is that it is free to play to download, and you don't have to worry about, for example, like buying power-ups. That's not how it works. You don't have to, you know, subscribe or any of that crap. The only thing that they charge for is the additional characters that you like. So like they do with Brawl, you know, they will encourage you certainly to maybe go and buy Lara Croft or something. But apart from that, like, that's it. You're not paying for upgrades or anything. You're not paying to improve your character. So hopefully that offsets the risk of the pay-to-play thing. Sorry, pay-to-win thing, which is good. But
so it's not premium?
No, free-to-play. Oh. Completely free-to-play. Like I say, you're just buying the characters. It's got a cross-play thing as well. And that's the other area where I'm like, so cross-play. I get to cross-play this with people playing on a PlayStation with a controller.
Good luck.
Gonna get battered, but all right. So, but cool that they've done it. I think it's worth a go. I would be very interested for you to play this on mobile, given your, you know, Smash history.
I will. That can be my homework.
Yeah, that I want the opinion of someone who's involved and embedded in the Smash.
Love the Smash.
You do. Brawlhalla, that's out right now. And a couple of other things, not loads and loads this week. You'll be relieved to hear. Go, Go, Go. I don't know where the emphasis is. Which is a multiplayer kind of party minigame thing, which you can get very nice little white on yellow sort of charcoal drawn art style. All just outlines, almost like stick figures. Very simple, very nice. But the idea is it's giving you... This is almost like a design to be played in lockdown or, you know, that kind of thing, where you get to do stuff that's a little bit like Pictionary and a little bit like, I don't know, Guess Who and stuff like that. And it's basically just giving you a bunch of mini games that you can play with people who are opposite you. So it is kind of supposed to be a local multiplayer. It's 20 of the mini games. You can... play with groups of up to 16 people. So there's stuff where it's almost giving you the rule set where it's like, all right, then this game is for three people. One of you is the describer and you'll have the phone. And the idea is that other people, for example, it's like you have to describe something and then they have to draw it. And then once everybody's drawn, you then can reveal on your phone or your iPad, this is what the drawing was and see who's got the closest result, who drew the thing most accurately based purely on your description. So it's stuff like that, like kind of simple party games that people can play, but just giving you a place to base it in. And it's free as well, which is quite nice. So you can unlock 20 more games. There's 20 to begin with, and you can unlock 20 more if you want to pay. But if you're looking for extra party stuff, it's nicely presented. It's neat. It's cool. It does the job just fine. So maybe go have a look at that. Go, 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 all one word with an exclamation point is the name of that one.
Perfect timing for something like that as well. I mean, everyone in lockdown. It'd be interesting to know from the developers if they've like fast-forwarded getting out the door because of what's happened in the world.
Well, possibly. Maybe they've just knocked it up in the last 4 months, you know, because these things are quite sort of streamlined and simple, perhaps.
True.
Now, there is a game called Guardian Tales, which is RPG business from Keiko Games. We've got a review of this up, and this was reviewed by Catherine, one of our writers, and she really liked it in its sort of fun nostalgia. So proper old-fashioned, like it harks back to the 8-bit era, though the visuals are, although simple, much more sort of 16-bitty and, you know, smoothed off. And it's got a modern gloss to it, but the basic underlying stuff is, you know, top-down, wander around the world, tackety-hackety, old-fashioned RPG. There is a gacha element. You're collecting characters and stuff. And yes, there are currencies and all that kind of business. But what she really liked was the world. She found it all quite engaging and sweet and a nice place to escape into and all of that business.
Bit like a 2D Zelda.
Like the OG Zeldas. But there's this character collection aspect of it. Old-fashioned JRPG business. I probably wouldn't have looked twice, but she actually really got into it. So there's a review to go and read. Go and find that. A Guardian Tales is the name of that one. What else? There's at least one more thing that we've got here. Oh, yeah. Gun Rounds. So this is the one I haven't even been anywhere near. This is because I saw the trailer. It's the most lo-fi thing in the universe, where it's emulating that Game Boy graphic style where it's monochromatic.
Okay, yeah,
the Game Boy had that kind of green and black look. This is, at least to begin with, pink and white. It's like, so from what I can gather, you are down the bottom of the screen in the center, and you are defending yourself against people blasting you from above, and then you have to launch your own attacks on them as well. It almost looks like a really stripped down version of, to me, I think more like the Pokemon battles, where you're just there and the animals or the enemies are there, and then you're battling out, though this appears to be a real-time kind of thing. Haven't played it. I'm kind of guessing we didn't have it on the joint account at the time, so yeah, bit of a shrug. It is part of the remember that Humble Bundle thing they did, the bundle for racial justice and equality, the itch.io. See, it wasn't Humble, it was itch.io that they did that huge collection of games. It's one of those. It was bundled in with that if you had it on PC, and this is the mobile port of it. So go and check it out. RPG combat roguelike shooter, they say. Maybe it is, who knows. Gun Rounds is the name of that one. Okay, we'll knock it on the head there. There wasn't anything else new that you played?
There wasn't, no, that's all. This was the thing with Nintendo. There's not much at the minute.
No, it was a little bit quiet in terms of new releases.
There was a new stage added to Smash Brothers. a tiny little stage. It was Masahiro Sakurai's birthday this week. So happy birthday to him, who has such impact on my gaming life. It's unreal.
Yes.
But he added a small little stage to Battlefield for literally one-on-ones, and that is it. So
we're recognizing Senpai here today. Nice. Actually, the one I should have mentioned, which I actually mentioned in the link there, is Rocatch Jumper, which is a roguelike platformer that I thought was worth mentioning because it's stuff we've seen before where it's a vertical platform where you have to kind of climb up a tunnel and not fall down out the bottom of the screen. But the way that the cat is propelling itself primarily is by launching a rocket launcher. And so it's going shot up the screen by that, and so it's a kind of pull release, you know, where you tap the screen, hold down and pull, and it goes woo trajectory, bdoof, and then you release and it fires off. That's always fun. Those games could be quite nice. It looks very, very daft and colourful, and I don't know if it's going to be any good or not.
Right, but up your street.
You get to fire rocket launchers to move forward, and that's, I think, a life lesson for all of us that we can take. Rocat Jumper, with two R's on the end is the name. That really is it. We're going to go now. Thank you for watching, everybody. We'll be back to normal YouTube business next week. More normal videos will be appearing if you've been waiting for them. I know we've had all the long ones up, and We're back to standard practice at the minute. But thank you for joining me, Matthew.
Thank you, as always.
Thank you for watching and listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.